It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On this vote, the yeas are 220, the nays are 213. The Build Back Better bill is passed.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announcing the passage of the Build Back Better bill by the House Friday morning. The bill now goes back to the Senate, so it's far from a done deal. But it has passed the House, a victory for the president, a victory for the Democrats, and hopefully a victory for the American people. But they had to overcome a big 11th-hour delay, or maybe I should call that an 8.5-hour delay. Here's what happened. The CBO on Thursday released its long-awaited score on the bill, the one thing that some of the House Democrats had been waiting for before voting on it. The score came back surprisingly positive, finding it will increase the deficit, realizing that additional revenue will be raised by IRS enforcement on wealthy tax cheats. And once that's taken into account, the deficit amount added in the scope of the size of the federal budget is very small. So once the CBO score was released, Democrats were ready to vote. Speaker Pelosi, knowing that she had the votes to pass it. But on Thursday night, shortly after 8:30 p.m., Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy began a speech reminiscent of an old talking filibuster, something that's actually unique to the Senate, just saying. Anyway, it seemed that McCarthy's goal was to delay the vote so that it would happen in the middle of the night. But when his nonsensical talking approached the 3.5-hour mark, just after midnight, Pelosi returned to the floor to send her members home, telling them that the vote would instead happen on Friday morning. So leadership announced the House would reconvene at 8 a.m. Friday, but McCarthy kept speaking. He continued until 5:11 a.m. Friday morning, completing an 8.5-hour long rambling speech that, for the most part, had nothing to do with the legislation he was trying to delay. The significance, though, of the length of the speech he delivered is that it passed Nancy Pelosi's 2018 speech when she did something similar but was speaking in support of legislation to give Dreamers a road to citizenship. That speech ran 8 hours and 7 minutes and, until this morning, held the record for the longest House speech ever. So all McCarthy wanted to do was break the record. And in fact, Madison Cawthorn shouted, "You broke the record!" And shortly after that, McCarthy finally yielded back. That was his goal, to break a meaningless record for the longest speech in the history of the House. Representative Jamie Raskin tweeted midway through the tirade, quote, "It's a feat of epic proportions to speak for 4 hours straight and not produce a single memorable phrase, original insight, or even a joke." Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went into the cloakroom to fire up Instagram Live and say this.
"It is a sad day in which a member who leads a political party in the United States of America cannot bring themselves to say that issuing a depiction of murdering a member of Congress is wrong, and instead decides to venture off into a tangent about gas prices and inflation. What is so hard? What is so hard about saying that this is wrong? This is not about me. This is not about Representative Gosar, but this is about what we are willing to accept."
So they returned at 8 a.m. Friday morning when the Republicans again tried delay tactics to keep the Build Back Better agenda from passing. But they got past that, voted on the bill, giving the victory to the Democrats, President Biden, and the American people, but not quite yet. The bill now goes back to the Senate, where it will no doubt undergo changes. But first, Congress leaves for the week. That's how it goes. There's still a lot to be done before the end of the year. And as we've noted regularly here, government funding runs out December 3rd, and shortly thereafter will again hit the debt ceiling and a potential first ever default. Now, you got to remember how ugly things got in October over the same issue. But now, with another deadline approaching, some sources say that they're taking a slightly more conciliatory approach. In a brief interview on Thursday ahead of a meeting with Schumer, McConnell said, quote, The best way to characterize it is we're going to be discussing the way forward. Well, that sounds almost bipartisan. In the courts, it seems that they too want to finish up to get home to enjoy Thanksgiving. Travis McMichael, the white man who shot and killed Ahmaud Arbery in February of 2020, admitted during his trial on Thursday that Arbery never threatened him, say anything or show a weapon before McMichael pointed his shotgun at the 25-year-old black jogger. Cell phone video, replayed in court Thursday, showed McMichael pointing the shotgun at Arbery as he runs around the pickup truck, then raising it again when the two came face-to-face in front of the truck, and McMichael fires. McMichael was one of just seven witnesses called by the defense before they rested on Thursday afternoon. Closing arguments today, and then that case goes to the jury. On Friday, the jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder case is in its fourth day of deliberations, and the defense in the federal civil lawsuit against the organizers of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, back in 2017, they rested their case on Thursday. And this happened too. Two men convicted of assassinating Malcolm X were exonerated Thursday after renewed investigations spurred by a Netflix documentary uncovered evidence proving authorities had withheld evidence that they were not the ones who gunned down the civil rights activist. The two men, Aziz and Islam, had both long maintained their innocence. Both were paroled in the 80s. Islam died in 2009. Mr. Aziz, now in his 90s, was present in the courtroom. And this was a surprise. The governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, commuted the death sentence of condemned inmate Julius Jones Thursday afternoon, just hours before his scheduled execution. Jones had been proclaiming his innocence from death row for more than two decades already in the 1999 killing of a suburban Oklahoma City businessman. The judge commuted the 41-year-old Jones' death sentence to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Jones had been scheduled for execution at 4 p.m. President Biden, who turns 79 on Saturday and is the nation's oldest president ever, has long promised to be transparent about his health. With that in mind, we learned today that Biden is undergoing a routine annual physical at Walter Reed Friday morning. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.